ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Shri Vishnu Sahasranama. Continuing discussion of Shri Vishnu Sahasranama, beginning with name 556, Sankarsana, a very well-known name. Well, it's among the better-known names, and the next known name. The next name after this is also among the better known of names. The name after this is Achyuta. So this name, 556, Sankarsana, that has a very similar meaning to that of the name Krishna. Krishna means who attracts. Sankarsana means who pulls toward oneself. The Karshan, Krishna, comes from the same Sanskrit root, Krish Dhatu, so the sense of attraction. This name is usually associated with Balaram, more than Krishna himself, directly. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the name giving ceremony of Krishna and Balaram, which was performed by Garga Rishi in a cowshed, he said that because he, this boy, that means he was being named at the time. In India, until recently, the system was that the children, they may not be named for quite some time. They may just have some nickname or something like that. Now with all the government laws, they're supposed to be named within some short period of time. So the name giving may come quite some time after the birth, their official names. So Garga said that bringing together Sankarsana, so because he brings together two families, that of Vasudeva and that of Nanda Maharaj, will be known as Sankarsana. Because he was born as this, Balaram was born as the son of Rohini, who was sent by Vasudeva to take shelter in Vrindavan out of fear of Kamsa, because although it's Devaki's children, who were the eighth son of Devaki, was predicted to be the killer of Kamsa, but Kamsa was unscrupulous, and therefore, out of fear that, well, still my son, if not the son of Devaki, so out of that fear she was sent, and the child was raised. We say Krishna and Balaram are brothers, and actually that's true in one sense, in the sense that they are both sons of Vasudeva, but when they were being raised, it was considered that in Vrindavan, it was considered that Krishna is the son of Nanda and Yashoda, and Balaram Sankarsan is the son of Vasudeva and Rohini. So they were all the time they were thought of as brothers. Rohini was living in the household of Nanda, and they grew up as brothers. They were considered brothers. Nityananda and Chaitanya, there's no, for want of a better word, biological connection, but still they're considered brothers because they're so close like that. So they unite two families. Already Vasudeva and Nanda are very close. They're also brothers. half-brothers. But they became very close because both Vasudev and Nanda consider Balaram as their son. That was known from the beginning. It wasn't known about Krishna. So he unites two families. Even before that, the devatas prayed that the son of Rohini will be celebrated as Sankarshan because of being sent from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. That was arranged by Yoga Maya under the order of Krishna. Before Krishna appeared, he ordered Yoga Maya, you appear. So Yoga Maya, Durga is the sister of Krishna, literally, inasmuch as they were both born from Yashoda. These are all saying Krishna is the son of Vasudev and Devaki, he's the son of Yashoda. Generally people think, Nanda and Yashoda, generally people think, well, Nanda and Yashoda, they were the foster parents, but actually there's evidence from Shastra that Krishna was born and they were twins. Maya was born at the same time from Yashoda. And then when Vasudev brought Krishna from Mathura, then the two Krishnas, it was actually only one Krishna, they merged into one. Anyway, seventh pregnancy of Devaki appeared to be like a miscarriage that was arranged by Yoga Maya, and that fetus was placed in the womb of Rohini. Yeah, I'm just thinking the word for fetus and the word for womb, they're the same. The garbha was placed in the garbha. At least in Bengali. I don't know about in Telugu. That's up to you. So, going on with this then, the meaning that's given by the acharyas, the first meaning that's given by the Ramanuja Sampradaya is that he who draws others toward him. So that's like Krishna. He brings others. Brings others. Come, come, come. Utishta, Jagrata, Prapya, Varang, Nibodhata. Get up, wake up, the Upanishads. Become aware of the great boon that is available in human life. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu similarly says, in the words of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jeev Jago, Gaura Chanda Bhag, Koto Nidra, Jao Maya, Pishachira Kole. Wake up, sleeping soul. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, how long will you sleep on the witch-like, on the lap of the witch-like Maya? Tomare Lerite Yami Hoinu Avatar. I've come as an avatar to pick you up. So he's come, Krishna comes to this world to bring us to him by his instructions, by demonstrating his beautiful pastimes in so many ways. He gives the Shastra, he sends his devotees. All the whole mission is to bring, he wants to bring people near to him. Come, come. Sri Bhatta, they say, Parashara Bhatta, his explanation. He says that in this world, he draws toward him the chit and the achit in the same way, and in this way unites them. In this way, he's called Sankar. Sam is taken here to mean summer. Summer means the same. So he brings together the chit and the achit, both of them. So in this world, we see that there is the conscious and the unconscious. There is the bhumirapalano vayu kangmano buddhirevacha ahankara iti angai bhina prakriti ashtata. There is the external energy or separated energy of Krishna, consisting of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, and aparaya mitas pranyam prakritim vidhime param jiva bhutam mahabahu yayedam dharyate jagat. What makes the world go on actually is not the earth, water, and all this, but it's the jivas, the energy of Krishna, the spiritual energy of Krishna, who are the jivas. So the combination of these two, they are united by sankarsan. Shankaracharya gives the understanding that at the time of the dissolution of the universe, then he draws everything into himself. When he breathes out, all the universes emanate. And when he breathes in, everything goes back in his body. So in this way, at the time of the universal destruction, the total different kinds of pralayam, destruction. So at the time of the total destruction, when everything, the whole material energy just shuts down, and all the conditioned souls within it, and all the material energy is withdrawn into his body, or drawn into his body. Then another commentator, Krishna Datta Bharadvaj, gives a name which is, gives the meaning which is very similar to the meaning of the name Krishna, that he draws his devotees toward him by his qualities, such as Vatsalya, his loving care, his exquisite beauty, and so on. Now, Shankaracharya combines this name with the next one. Remember, the next name is Achyuta, which means he who doesn't slip, he doesn't fall, who's always fixed in his position, which is, again, we can link the name Achyuta with the name Dridha, which came just before. He's very firm and strong and stable, so Dridha means firm and strong and stable, and Achyuta means he doesn't fall down. Shankara combines the names Sankarshan and Achyuta to say that at the time of the destruction of the universe, everything is dissolved, everything is finished, everything is, it loses. The earth, water, fire, all the ingredients are dissolved into the Mahatattva. And then that's dissolved into the body of Mahavishnu, Karnadakshaya Vishnu. And all the jivas, they also lose consciousness of their state, and they become as if unaware of anything. But he doesn't lose his nature. So he withdraws everything. Everything is brought down to a neutral stage of no activity, no consciousness, but he remains in his same position. Then, another Acharya, Radha Krishna Shastri, he combines the three names, Dridha, Sankarshan, and Achyuta, and brings them all together with the understanding that Dridha is firm, fixed in his nature. Sankarshan, he draws those who are caught in the ocean of ignorance and misery in this material world. With that firm determination, he attracts them to him. Now, we're not talking about the at the time of destruction here, but he attracts them to him. And while doing so, he remains fixed in his nature. He doesn't become contaminated. We, as aspiring devotees of Krishna, we have to preach Krishna consciousness according to the best of our ability. But we may be affected by the association of materialistic people. We may be contaminated because we are very small. We are not Achyuta, but he is not affected by them. Another writer gives an analogy. If someone has fallen into a river and someone tries to save him, And the person trying to save him should be strong enough to do so. If he thinks, let me go and save someone in the river, and he also gets drowned. That happens sometimes. But Achyuta is the one who can save us without being affected. So the whole point, we should take firm shelter, dhrida, of he who is all attractive. We should take shelter of him firmly. And that's one side, with firm resolve. At the same time, our emotions, our feelings, to be attracted toward him, to let ourselves be attracted to him, not put our material consciousness in between him and us. What's between him and us? He's not putting anything in between us, him and us. It's our own bad decision to do so. With the faith that he is a tutor, he is powerful, he can rescue us. Baladev Vidyabhushan gives the meaning that he defeated the demon Hiranyaksha, and in that way he's Sankarsan. But I don't know how he derives that, because just the meanings are given here without any further explanation. About Sankarsan, some different points that Srila Prabhupada has written. Now we know that in Dwaratha, there's the Chaturvyuha, that's already been discussed in this Vishnu Sahasranama, with the name Chaturatma. So, at least in Gaudiya philosophy, that's more called Chaturvyuha. Vyuha refers to a military formation of Vasudev, Sankarsan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. So they are present in Dwaraka. Vasudev is Krishna, Sankarsan is Balaram, Pradyumna is the first son of Krishna, by Rukmini, and Aniruddha is the son of Pradyumna. So they're all Vishnu forms, and they all have various functions in overseeing and supervising and organizing the material world. And Sankarsan especially is the root of, he's none different from Balaram. He is Balaram. Balaram may be called Sankarsan. It's common to call him Sankarsan. And then he expands as further Chaturvyuhas in the Vaikuntha planets. And then, I'll read what Srila Prabhupada says about this. From teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya next informs Sanatan Goswami that there are different forms of Svangsha as well. Svangsha means forms of the Lord who are directly Vishnu forms, as differentiated from Vibhinangsha. The jivas are also expanded from Vishnu, but they're different. They're not Vishnu forms. So there are different forms of Svangsha as well, and these are divided into the Sankarsan division and the incarnation division. The Sankarsan division includes the three Purusha avatars, Karana Dakshay Vishnu, Garbha Dakshay Vishnu, and Kshira Dakshay Vishnu. And the other comprises the Leela avatars, such as the Lord's incarnations as a fish and a tortoise. So the Sankarsan Sankarsan expands himself as the Karana Dakshay Vishnu, who is lying, from him all the universes emanate. He enters into every universe as Garbha Dakshay Vishnu, and he enters into every atom and the heart of every living being as the Kshira Dakshay Vishnu. Then another division is the Leela avatars. Now here's an interesting comment about Sankarsan from Srila Prabhupada's purport to Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, Text 32, the Encyclopedia of Spiritual Knowledge, Srimad Bhagavatam, with Srila Prabhupada's commentaries. Srila Prabhupada writes, that the master of integration is also the destroyer of this world by virtue of his disintegrating energy. So everything comes into being via Sankarshan, through the Purusha avatars. So he's the master of integration, that everything comes together. But he's also the master of disintegration, because he has a function at the time of the universal destruction also. So Sankarshan is the master of integration and disintegration. An expansion of Sankarshan is also Lord Shiva, who as Rudra destroys the material world. So he's involved with both the creation and the destruction of the universe, while remaining aloof from everything. Now, Baladev is known as being the greatest servant of the Supreme Lord. This is discussed in Srila Prabhupada's rendition of Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Adi Lila introduction. In the Shvetadvip, within every universe is a Shesha form of Godhead who serves Vishnu. Especially in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, there's great emphasis on Shesha. Because in their Sampradaya, they so much emphasize the Dasya. We are all servants, servants of the Lord. So Shesha is the form of Godhead who serves Vishnu in every way by assuming the form of his umbrella, slippers, couch, pillows, garments, residence, sacred thread, throne, and so on. All the paraphernalia of the spiritual world, especially that which is directly used by Narayana, is Shesha, Sheshavata. And even the spiritual world itself is an expansion. And Srila Prabhupada goes on to say that Lord Baladeva in Krishna Loka is Nityananda Prabhu. Therefore, Nityananda Prabhu is the original Sankarshan. And Maha Sankarshan and his expansions as the Purushas in the universes are plenary expansions of Nityananda Prabhu. Here, Nityananda, we can just change the... means he's Balaram. The whole point is to establish in that chapter of Adi Lila that Nityananda is Balaram. And Balaram's function as Sankarshan, as Shesha, is to serve Krishna, Narayana. And he does the same as Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Purna Kare Chaitanyara Kam. That's what Nityananda does. He fulfills the desires of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's a well-known verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by Krishna to Uddhava. Well-known means not among the most well-known, but you could say fairly well-known among those who study Srimad Bhagavatam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says, one of the many verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita cited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Srimad Bhagavatam. Very sweet verse. Natatame priyatama atma yonirna shankara na cha sankarshanor na shrir. What's the last line? Naivatma chat yathabhavan. Krishna says to Uddhava that no one is more dear to me, even including Lord Brahma, who is born from my own womb. Natatame priyatama atma yone na shankara. Lord Shiva, not as dear to me. Yashankara, Nacha, Sankar, even my own brother, Balaram, Sankarsha, Nashri, even Shri is as dear to me as you, Uddhava said. No, Krishna said to Uddhava. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said that Krishna was going to say, is speaking on philosophical principles, not even my own self, not as dear to me as my devotee. He was going to say my devotee. But then at the last moment, he thought, you. Uddhava is the symbol of the great devotee. And of course, Uddhava was sent by Krishna to Vrindavan to see the devotion of the Vrajavasis. Uddhava, his love for Krishna is mixed with a sense of Krishna's greatness. So he was sent by Krishna to try to pacify the Vrajavasis who are feeling separation from him. But Uddhava, he couldn't do it because he was trying to tell them, you see, Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He was saying to Nanda and Yashoda, and he's in everyone's heart. He's everywhere. They were looking at him, what is he talking about? What is he talking about? What is he doesn't know. He's our son. You know, he's telling us he's the Supreme Lord. He's in everyone's heart. He's us. You can talk whatever you like. We want him here. Yeah. All this philosophy. What's he talking? So Uddhava realized that it was hopeless. He couldn't say all these. He had to learn from them. He wasn't to teach them about how Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He has to learn from them how to love Krishna without consciousness of him being the Supreme Lord. Anyway, that's a bit off the topic of Sankarshan. So, Srila Prabhupada writes again in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, and this time in the purport to verse 10. According to expert opinion, Balarama as the chief of the original quadruple forms is also the original Sankarshan. Balarama, the first expansion of Krishna, expands himself in five forms. One, Mahasankarshan. Two, Karana Dakarshayi. Balaram himself is called Sankarshan, but he expands himself as Mahasankarshan. Two, Karandakarshai, Garbhodakarshai, Kshiradakarshai, and five, Shesha. These five plenary portions are responsible for both the spiritual and material manifestations. In Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada writes, Ananta or Shesha is the source of power which sustains all the planets in their different positions. Materially, this sustaining power is known as the law of gravitation, but actually it is a display of the potency of Sankarshan. Balaram or Sankarshan is the source of spiritual power or the original spiritual master. So all these scientists, they're trying to work out what's going on in the universe. And according to them, the law of gravitation is going on, but it requires, there's for the amount of gravitation that they perceive in the universe, there should be more matter, because matter attracts matter. But there's not enough matter in the universe to make up the gravity that they perceive. So if you can't see the matter that should be there according to your theory, then what do? You make it up. You imagine it, and it's called dark matter. It means, science means that, you see, you have to see it, otherwise you can't believe in it. But there's dark matter which you can't see, touch, taste, smell, feel, or hear, but it must be there, otherwise our scientific theories don't work. Well, we can save the poor taxpayers millions of dollars of useless research by giving them each one copy of Krishna book. And then they can find out that gravity, what they call gravity, is a manifestation of the energy of Lord Sankarshan, who holds everything together. That's his name. Sam means everything, and Karshan means a try. So it's Balaram's energy. If you want, you can call it gravity. But they don't have a clue how it works, actually, although they try to bluff everyone that they do. A very important point here also, Balaram or Sankarshan is the source of spiritual power, or the original spiritual master. So he by whose power the universe is held into being. They want to say that it's all matter that holds everything together. Matter supports itself. The energy is just some manifestation of matter. But the energy comes from the energetic. So the material power that holds everything together, or the source of that, is Sankarshan. And he's also the source of all spiritual power. So we can take shelter of him. He manifests as the spiritual master. He's the original spiritual master. Of course, we may say that Krishna is the original spiritual master, but that title is given to Balaram because he's not Krishna. He is Krishna and he's not Krishna. He's Krishna in another form. So he's the first one to say, look, Krishna, surrender. You see Krishna? You have to go to him. So that's the job of a guru, is to point others toward Krishna. So Balaram does that. He's the original spiritual master. He's the source of all spiritual strength by which a jiva who is constitutionally very weak can be empowered to be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in giving strength to others. Actually, the strength comes from Sankarsana. Now, the next name then is that Achyuta. It seems to have been quite a common name among Bengali Vaishnavas previously. I don't know in other parts of India. In many places in India, if you say Achyuta, the name people, they generally don't know it. Well, if they read Bhagavad Gita, they should know it. Because it's the first name of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Is that correct? No, it's the first name spoken by Arjuna. It's the first name by which Krishna is addressed by Arjuna. Senayor Ubhayor Madhe Ratam Stapya Me Chuta. It's also the last name by which he addresses Krishna. The last words of Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. Nashto Moha Smriti Labdha Twat Prasadan Me Achuta. Stitosmi Gata Sandeha Karishe Vachanantava. So the last name. So the first name, he says, Krishna, you just, chariot driver, just put the chariot in between the two armies. And last time he says that now by your mercy, Krishna, I'm freed from illusion. I've regained my proper consciousness. I'm firm, fixed in my determination. All my doubts have gone, and I'll obey your order. His first name, the last name, and it comes once more in the 11th chapter where Krishna is addressed by Arjuna, the fearful Arjuna, upon seeing the universal form. So, at least in the Bhagavad Gita, the name is there. So, those who know the Bhagavad Gita should know. It seems to have been a fairly common name in Bengal. The most prominent son of Advaita Acharya, Achyutananda. So this name has already come up twice before. So those who know Vishnu Sahasranam, they should know it also. He has 1,000 names. Oh, what are the names? Well, one of them is Achyuta, another is Achyuta, another is Achyuta. How is it 1,000? You could go on. Number 4 is Achyuta, 5 is Achyuta, number 6 is Achyuta, number 7. How is that? Well, it appears in different verses, in different contexts. It's the same name, but it can be understood according to the names in the same verse. Basically, it has the same meaning. He doesn't fall. He doesn't fall down from his Aishvaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashashashriya Gyanavairagya Yoshchaya Shannang Bhagatitingira. He doesn't fall from, it's not that he ever becomes a poor man, although he's full of all opulence. It's not that he becomes a poor man. Of course, Sannyasakrit is one of the names within the Vishnu Sahasranam. He voluntarily accepts sannyas. So even as a sannyasi, he's still filled with all, he's still, all the opulences are there, but he doesn't manifest them, that's all. Or as Naranarayan Rishi, he doesn't manifest them. So he never becomes a fool, he never loses all knowledge, he never loses all power and strength. So in this way, he never falls down to the position of a jiva. So it's a great offense to equate him with a jiva. He never slips from his glory. And he never lets his devotees slip also. Even if they may superficially slip. They're always protected by the Supreme Lord. So others, yeah, the commentators, they say that some Brahma, he's in a great position, but he doesn't remain in that position forever. Someone's a Brahma for one life. It's a very long life by our calculation, but he doesn't remain in that position forever. Indra's in that position, and then he falls. Even during the span of his being Indra, he may fall down, as in the incident described in the Mahabharata, when he fell down to the position of a pig, and Nahush had to come in and take his position. Then he fell also. But Krishna doesn't fall. He also doesn't undergo transformation in this material world, because everything material goes through transformation. Shardavikar. There's birth, growth, remaining in that position, production of byproducts, dwindling and death. These are the six transformations. Was born, then grows, then for some time you're grown up and you look quite nice, but then after some time you start to dwindle in between, give birth to children, and then you die. But Krishna doesn't go through this transformation. You say, oh, yes, he does. He's born and then he's a child and then he's youth. It's also described as death, but no. His form as a child, baby, is eternal. His form as Rajakumar is eternal. And his form as Rajakishore. Rajakumar means he's a young child. And Kishore means he's a youth. They're all eternal. We see in this world that he appears to grow. But actually, these forms are eternal. Mother Yashoda, she knows Rajakumar. She doesn't know Rajakishore. She always sees him as a little boy. Even his birth leela, that's always going on. But he's not really born in the way that a materialistic person under the modes of material nature is born. Ajopi sanavyayatma bhutanam ishvaropi san prakritim swamadishtaya sambhavami atmamaya. He's unborn. But he appears in this world, appears to be born, out of his own maya, his own mercy in this case. Maya can be understood. He's the master. His form is unchanging, undwindling. And although he is the controller of material nature, that means he's not under its rules and regulations. So therefore, he's achyuta. He doesn't fall down being influenced by lust or any such thing. What's that?
There's so many red ants on this mala.
Okay, take it off.
Even on this cloth.
Yeah, they all came down. That's why I'm turning aside time to time. I'm blowing them off. Okay, take that. He doesn't fall from his vow. So in that sense, he's similar to Ajit. Krishna promises to protect his devotees. He never falls from that vow, and he's quite capable of fulfilling it also. Arjuna made a very good decision to have Krishna rather than Krishna's armies, because all of Krishna's armies, so many thousands of men, but every one of them is fallible. But Krishna is infallible and he won't let his devotee be defeated. So even though he won't fight, he won't let his devotee be defeated. But his own army, they're all, you put them all together and then they're not equal to Krishna. Even a non-fighting Krishna. Also, yeah, he doesn't undergo modification. So these Shadvikar, he doesn't undergo that at all. Oh, that other verse is there in the Bhagavad Gita. That comes up in the 11th canto, where it's a very sweet part of the Bhagavad Gita, where Arjuna apologizes to Krishna. I always used to think of you as my friend. Now I see that you're the Supreme Lord. Saketi madva prasabang yaduktam. Hey Krishna, hey Yadava, hey Saketi. Agyata mahimanam tavedam. Maya pramadat pranayena vapi. Yachchava ha saratanga satkritosi. Vihara shayasana bhujanishu. Ekota vapyachuta. Tat samaksham tat kshameye twamaham aprameyam. So he apologizes that, oh Krishna, I used to address you as Krishna and Yadava, just like we're friends. Oh my friend, I didn't know your glories. You please forgive what I did. It was, you know, I wasn't in my proper understanding. I did so out of madness or love. I've dishonored you many times, jesting. As we relaxed, jesting, you know, that is parihasam, making jokes about someone. We used to lie together, sit on the bed together, or we eat together, sometimes alone, and sometimes I made jokes about you in front of many others. So Achyuta, he's seeing him as Achyuta. Now I understand your great position, so please excuse me for all those offenses. Srila Prabhupada commented once that Arjuna, in saying this, he actually came down from his position of intimacy with Krishna. And so he apologized, but Krishna didn't really want him to apologize. He didn't want that Arjuna will stop lying on the bed with him, joking about him. Ah, you think you're a big guy. Ha, ha, ha. You don't know. You're just a Yadava, you see. We are the Pandavas. You're a Yadava. Okay. So Krishna didn't want Arjuna to come down. But for some time, for a short time, he was in that position of great reverence toward Krishna. Now, the name Achyuta also comes many times in Srimad Bhagavatam. One particular verse I'm going to read. In which the name Achyuta comes. Dushtang shutang bhuta bhavad bhavishyat stas nushcharish nur mahad alpakancha vinachutad vastu tarang nava chyang sa eva sarvang paramatma bhutaha. Did you hear the name Achyuta? Are you listening there? Vinachuta means without Achyuta. So without Achyuta, nothing can be said to exist independently of Achyuta. Nothing heard or seen, nothing in the past, present or future, nothing moving or unmoving, great or small. So can you think of anything apart from that? Anything that's seen or heard, anything in the past, present or future, moving or unmoving, something's got to be either moving or unmoving, isn't it? Unless you do quantum theory, maybe. Great or small, he indeed is everything, for he is the Supreme Soul. So that applies. Even if you say something, we're not sure whether it's moving or not moving, but he knows. The quantum physicist might be bewildered what's going on. He's not bewildered. If they want to know, they should ask Krishna. What's the solution to all our... We can't work it out, all this quantum theory. Can't work it out. What should we do? Ask Krishna. And what's the answer? Aham sarvasya prabhavo matas sarvam pravartate. Everything comes from Krishna. Maya dyakshina prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kaunteya jagadvi parivartate. By my supervision, everything is going on in this world. Everything, moving, non-moving, in this world is going on under my direction. So, that's all. What's the solution to all the problems of quantum physics? Chant Hare Krishna. Don't bother. Just don't bother. There's no need. You don't need all this. Just chant Hare Krishna and go to Krishna. You might end up as a quantum worm in stool. What's the point? How is it going to benefit you studying all these things? It's just a waste of time. Say, no, by science we discovered so many... You see, like the microphone. But, well, we can chant Hare Krishna without the microphone. As you went through so much trouble to make it, we can use it also. But all this factories, research, and so many things, just diverting attention away from the real problems of life is that we are suffering birth, death, old age, and disease. And even Einstein, for all his so-called intelligence, wasn't even intelligent enough to ask this basic question, why are we suffering in this world? He very intelligently tried to answer the wrong questions. And his answers are also imperfect and incomplete, as science always will be. Science will never have all the answers. It's not possible, even to the material existence. So better chant Hare Krishna and get out of this material world by taking shelter of Sankarsana Achyuta, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Is there any question, please, about all this? Or any comment about this? Yeah.
When you say that Einstein could not answer a simple question,
I didn't say Einstein couldn't answer a simple question. I said he asked the wrong questions.
No, before that you said he couldn't answer a simple question like, why are we suffering?
I did say that. But he couldn't answer it, but he didn't even think of asking it.
Why does the world appreciate him so much?
Why does the world appreciate him? Well, śrīvidvara haśca karai saṅstuta purusha paśuhu nayat karna pato petas jata nama gadagrajaha. Dogs, persons who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, they praise persons who do not chant the name of Krishna, who do not are not interested that names that name should enter their ear. Maybe if Prabhupada had met him, he was there. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was there. Not known, not appreciated. One time, some devotees in Dallas, USA, Prabhupada was there. I'm just trying to remember exactly. They were interested to meet Werner von Braun. Anyone heard the name of Werner von Braun? You know, you're from the older generation. So he was a great...
Rocket scientist.
When the Americans, they invaded Germany after defeat. Well, from the western side they came, and the Russians came from the east. So they were very concerned to find out their top scientists and take them all to America, because the Germans were way ahead in technology. They had their V2 rockets, which they shot from Germany all the way to England. That was high technology at the time. And Srila Prabhupada suggested that actually they had the nuclear technology also. And the Americans were aware of that. But they didn't do it. They deliberately didn't nuke England. Anyway, they brought them out, and probably the most prominent, at least the one who became the most famous of the German scientists who they took to America to build up their own weapons program, defense program, was Werner von Braun. And he was, a brilliant rocket scientist. But in the 1970s, he must have been quite old, And he was well known, he became well known. And he said something to the effect that, well, science can't tell us everything and we should try to understand spiritual topics. So one of the devotees suggested, well, maybe we can go and meet him and introduce these topics to him. And Prabhupada said, yeah, but well, we would be interested to meet him because he's interested in spiritual topics, not because he's a big scientist. That was the reason given. Actually, Einstein was also not just a not just interested in science, but he was also interested in moral and ethical issues. He was very concerned about the implications of the development of nuclear weapons. So there may be many people like that. They're actually concerned about the nature of the good. They want that people should live peacefully and happily. But of course, Einstein never came to his mind, as far as I know. He's not famous as a vegetarian, that we're torturing and killing so many animals. Never came to his mind. In general, we can say that the Western people, they're not spiritually advanced. People are born in different situations according to their previous activities and their previous inclinations. Karmana daiva netrena jantur dehopapate, under the supervision of the demigods and the Supreme Lord. And mostly people with some spiritual development, they mostly take birth in India, where they can avail of this culture. There may be some in the West also, especially waiting for Prabhupada to come. But it's coming up more and more now in the Western world. There are many people who are quite aware of this, and they say, "What is it? How can you kill animals?" They're very much against mistreatment of animals because of the pain. They see you're causing pain to them. Even there's a prominent atheist, you say, I also wander around on the internet and find out different things. What's his name? Bill Mayer, something like that. He's an atheist, but he's a vegetarian also, because he thinks it's wrong to mistreat animals. So some raising of consciousness is going on there. There are many people in the West, you meet them now, and they've been vegetarian all their life, just like in India, because they were born into such a situation. Some of our devotees, many of them are not particularly interested in Krishna consciousness, but they've been vegetarian from birth. Of course, to be a vegetarian isn't the goal of life, but it's definitely a big step up from being a meat eater. To be a meat eater means to integrate cruelty into your life unnecessarily. Unnecessary pain given to animals. Yeah, so Einstein didn't think of that. He was thinking of, he was a good man in the sense that he wanted good for others, and not, he wasn't just thinking of America or the Jewish people. He was a Jew by birth. But he was thinking of all of mankind, but he didn't go beyond mankind to other species. It's fingernail fascination. So often during class we find devotees become fascinated with their fingernails, become completely absorbed. Nayat Karna Pato Peta. So the name of the topics being discussed don't enter into their ears. Come on, I'm talking about Einstein. He's Shvavidvara Harshtra Karai. I'm not talking about Krishna. You should be interested. I'm talking about dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. But it's a fact in our preaching also that if you go out and if you do some slideshow, public presentation, here in India especially, and show Einstein, people become very interested. You show a picture of Krishna, not so interested. People are very interested in science, it seems. Any other question there? No, okay. I'll just answer one question from the several given in writing here by Srikant Keshavadas. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's recorded that the Supreme Personality of Godhead says, I create this cosmos by such penance. I maintain it by the same energy, and I withdraw it all by the same energy. Therefore, the potential power is penance only. What is the penance mentioned here? Why does the Lord need to perform any penance to create, maintain, or annihilate the cosmos? Actually, he doesn't need to do any penance. Srila Prabhupada is here translated tapa as penance. He doesn't need to do so, but the personalities, I was just saying how Sankarshan is the form of the Lord who oversees creation and destruction, but he works through various personalities in this world also. So in Brahma is the agent by which he oversees the creation of this world. Rudra is, and he oversees the destruction. So they do penance, and through that they become empowered to perform their functions. It's not that he does penance, but he empowers those who do. One of the commentators, was it Jiva Goswami, stated that here tapa is should be understood specifically to mean devotional service. Those who are performing devotional service, which includes meditation, meditating on the Lord, both Brahma and Shiva, they do that. And then for maintenance, there are so many demigods with different functions. So particularly those who perform devotional service. Otherwise, there may be so many demons who also perform tapasya, but they don't get the mercy of the Lord to be involved in the overseeing of the universe. The Supreme Lord himself does do penance in the form of Narayan Rishi, to set an example for others of the importance of that. Okay, other questions of yours? Is he here? Srikant? Yeah. Oh, he's right there. Okay. I'll have to consult the commentaries. These are all technical questions. I'll have someone else do that. I have to consult the Sanskrit commentaries. It's good that you're reading very carefully, and you can come up with such questions. Okay, Hare Krishna. So, now everyone has to do severe austerities. Take prasadam. That's not severe austerity. But in other ages, people, they had to do severe austerities. In this age, we take prasad. You take Krishna prasad, and you get all the benefits that people did by performing severe austerities. No austerities. A little bit, it's a little hot today. This must be very hot in the Jyeshta, Vaisak. Must much hotter. And this roof increases it. So that's some austerity. Much better than the austerity of living in Hyderabad. Hare Krishna! All glories to Srila Prabhupada! Hare Krishna!